there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume. All right, my buddy Nick Wright is about to stop by. But before we start with Nick, I want you to grab your smartphone and download the Game Time app. You know how the game works. It takes about 90 seconds to download apps. The Game Time app is great. You don't have to worry about tickets to the big event ever again. They have tickets to sporting events, comedy, theater, music, anything, concerts, anything. And not only do you get tickets right up to the start of those events, but an hour after it starts. So it's the best place to find last minute seats. Again, comedy show, concert, theater, sports, anything. They have zone deals. You pick the section, Game Time picks the seats, big time savings. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets to the biggest nights, the biggest events in your life. Download the Game Time app, put in the code COLIN. That gets you $20 off your first purchase. Nothing else like it. Very simple. You get a $20 savings off your first purchase with us. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. That simple.
Awesome.
All right. We bring in Nick Wright. And there's the first thing we got to get right to the important stuff. So Nick, apparently, show him, Nick, what you have in your hand. He broke his hand.
Well, I got a broken arm. I got a broken arm is what I have.
So I didn't notice this on our weekly TV appearance, mostly because your arm isn't in the shot. Mostly.
Oh, my arm is in the shot, though. I'm waving a Sharpie all around. I'm pointing things out, but you're so locked in. So you didn't notice. So you're just now realizing that, I've got a broken arm.
What'd you do?
Well, Colin, you know... I mean, I wasn't going to bring this to the audience, but it's fine. You know, the company I keep, the circles I run in.
I know.
And when I send you a panic text message, can you wire me $35,000 and you leave it unread or unopened? Like, this is what happens. You know what I mean? People were nothing that cool or all. I fell.
People at 40 don't fall. What does that mean?
Well, if you get knocked in, if you're going down the stairs, holding a phone, reading Twitter, and get bumped by the old family dog.
Oh, Jesus.
Sometimes you fall and then don't want to drop the phone and think you're going to fall gracefully. And instead you don't. You break your arm. Such is life.
Can I tell you?
Either that or I owed somebody money and they broke my arm. The audience can choose what they want to believe.
I have a fall story. So I've had two really bad falls in my life. And when you get to my age, you could die that way. So Jackson was 2 or 3, may have been 3 years old. So this was 15 years ago. I'm in Connecticut in a condo. And I have, I'm going to bring him a blanket downstairs. And I have I have shorts on, nothing else. It's early morning. And he wants to watch cartoons or something, whatever it is. And I have my cell phone in my shorts and I have a cup of coffee in my right hand, and the towel, the comforter, I step on it and I do a flip.
That's a tough one.
I landed and I tried to save my coffee as I'm falling, forgetting that I'm old at the time. You know, I was 45. I fell so hard, one, it eventually, 2 days later, left a phone imprint on my calf. I mean, I literally went horizontal. Yeah. Secondly, it's the only time in my life I was, when things are like shock, like didn't remember about 5 to 6 seconds of, I got up and there was coffee had fallen and everything had fallen. And I had a bruise. I had a phone bruise. I had bruises up and down my leg. And so what's interesting, since that moment, I literally, when I go into upstairs, no phone, no, I've changed the way as I've aged, I go up and downstairs.
So, you know, one, know what's funny? So, cause I'm not as
old.
Yeah, maybe I'm a little more hard-headed than you. The day after this happened, without the dog bumping me, but same thing, socks on the stairs, with the cast on my arm, I was walking with my daughter, I almost fell again, and she yelled at me. She's like, "Daddy, you can't," and I was like, "You know what? I'm now a hold the railing guy." I didn't think I'd get there before I hit 40, but I got there. I'm now a hold the railing guy. Like, I'm going to slow but steady.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so that's what it is. I have. Yeah. So that's the embarrassing story there. But that's, I'm glad to talk to you. I also have a slight beef with you.
Go ahead. Yeah.
When you and I started doing these again and doing these regularly, and I know I've been off lately and I apologize for missing last week. One of the conceits of it was that we would have a few drinks together and it'd be like a night thing and whatever. And the first couple episodes, you did it. And now you've stopped. I'm still doing it. And to your volume audience, it's like, man, Nick's showing up with a broken arm. He's drinking on a Tuesday. Like, this guy, is he okay? Like, doesn't look like he's cut his hair in 2 years. Colin's just drinking seltzer. He's out here drinking bottles of wine. I saw it. I was like, that guy's got a Diet Coke there. What is he, Francesa? Like, what are we talking about? And so that's all. So maybe next time you can share a cocktail with me.
So what I do, you know, the second wife reality is when Ann comes to LA, sometimes we go have a good time. So we went to Beverly Hills the last two nights and we stayed out. And I mean, we went out and had a great time. And so tonight I thought I would dry out a little and just be just be an adult for the first time in 3 days, you know.
Good for you. No, I appreciate that. I respect it. But so go ahead. Now we can go.
It was brought to my attention. Somebody on the staff said this the other day, is that, and Dan Wojcicki, who's for the LA Times, a bright guy, comes on my show and he said,
I like him. Yeah. He does a good job.
He's really, really thoughtful, bright guy. And we were talking about, I said, you know, listen, I think the European structure is better than the AAU. That's what's creating this imbalance in European stars and domestic stars. It's nothing against our kids. AAU is about getting yours, playing with your buddies. European, their academies are playing against older physical players and coming out at 18 or 19 refined, mature, disciplined, and hardened. Because 20 years ago, the knock on European players was they're all soft. They're all Tony Kukoc.
Yeah.
And they hurt it. And so now they have created a system in which their guys come out, Luka, Wemby, they come out ready to play physically. Sure. Our guys get a little pampered with AAU. You don't get the hard high school or college coaching. You go to G League, you go onto a bad team, Jalen Green, and you can get yours. But the game is, there's not a lot to it. It feels like an individual game. And the European guys are part of systems and teams very quickly. And somebody brought this up. The NBA has to find a domestic star, and they thought it would be Jason Tatum, and he's just not interested in that. Part of being a star is you have to be interested in it. LeBron was. MJ was. Magic was. Bird wasn't. Dr. J was.
Kobe was obsessed with it.
Yes.
Kobe was obsessed with it.
And the European guys aren't. Just like when you go to Europe, you're a visitor. You tip better. You're more gracious. You're more you don't ad lib and go out to a club. Just, you know what? Just random it. Yeah. So the European players don't want to be the star of the league. They want to get points. They want to get wins. They get their sleep. And the American kids, frankly, were waiting for one of these kids to embrace it. And Tatum's not interested. Anthony Edwards may be, but he is in Minnesota. Even KG was sort of invisible in Minnesota, and he's an all-time great player. So I'm thinking about this. We need a domestic, there's nothing, I love the Europeans, but to some—
No, so but this is why, so I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Yeah.
So one is, this is why John Zion going a little sideways is so damaging.
That's
John
right.
John wanted it, he's electrifying.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he was going to get back on track after a bunch of public missteps, but then he got hurt. Zion, you know, seemed to get caught up in a lot of things. And it feels like everyone, even though, by the way, Zion's been excellent this year. Yeah, he's been healthy. The Pelicans have been good.
Yeah.
But it feels like the idea of like, oh, Zion's going to be an MVP. Like everyone's kind of moved past that and been like, oh, okay, he's good. He's really good. Yeah, and so like that's disappointing from where he was. Anthony Edwards wants it. And even though he's in Minnesota, Colin, he's so electrifying.
Yeah.
I think he could do it. Now it's hard for a 6'3 and a half, 6'4 guy to be good enough to be the face of the league, but he is so I'll use the word again, electrifying as an athlete and as a player. And I'm sure you saw Hustle. He's charismatic. He's a good actor. Like all those things. They need the league really. I think it would benefit the league massively, even if the ratings weren't great this go round. If Minnesota goes on a real run, if he all of a sudden, you know what I mean, starts showing up in those games. But the other thing you pointed out, because I've always appreciated the way you've talked about the issues potentially with the AAU circuit, because you've made a very clear, you've been very intentional about saying, I'm not blaming the kids, blaming the players. Because a lot of the critiques of AAU basketball from a lot of people have felt to me in the past slightly racist.
Yeah.
It's always felt like they were trying to send coded language at these black, a lot of black run organizations, a lot of black kids. But they're obviously, we now have almost proof of concept that the American-born players are coming into the league, the best ones, a lot of them less prepared than the European players or the foreign players.
Yeah, no question.
So why is that? I think a lot of it has to do, and this is a point our mutual friend Bill Simmons has made, and he's right. The volume of games that are played remove some natural competitiveness. And that might sound counterintuitive, but if you are playing 5 games in 2 days, how much does a loss sting?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm back at it. I'm playing again in 2 hours. Like, and so as opposed to, from what I understand, is a lot of the leagues or camps or what they call them, I forget what they call them in Europe, but doesn't matter. Academies, that's the word. It's a lot of, you know, practice leading up to a game and then a lot more. So then you see a real pain from losing because it's like, God, dog, this is going to have to sit with me for days. And so I think that there's a lot of elements there that are not necessarily the best incubators to create the most talent. And so I think that is instructive because I do think it is important for any league to have, where it is based, some of its very best players be from there.
Yeah.
I don't think that's nativist. I think that's just normal.
Well, yeah.
I think that one of the reasons hockey's more popular in Canada is a disproportionate amount of the great players are Canadian. You know what I mean? Like that is, and so, yeah, I do think it obviously would be better for the NBA if we can have more domestic stars. But you look right now, the NCAA tournament's coming up. There are far more domestic female stars than male stars.
No
and
question.
And that's not even debatable. It's not even debatable.
Yeah, USC, the girl at LSU, Iowa. Yeah,
Angel Reese, Juju Watkins, Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Those three
stars
are bigger than Zach Edey or anyone UConn has as far as, you know, and by the way, none of them are even on the best team in South Carolina with just their stars, their head coach, and as great players. There once upon a time, it felt like in that time wasn't that long ago, it felt like in our business, you almost, if people acknowledged or, you know, said they were, you know, they had an opinion on the women's tournament that wasn't like UConn or Tennessee was going to win, it almost felt like it was performative. This last 2 years, it feels like people are invested. You know what I mean? Like have takes because they've been watching.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I watched Juju.
Right.
And she kicks ass. Like everybody knows Caitlin Clark. It's exciting.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I remember watching Maya Moore and thinking for the first time, oh, she could make a Division I men's team. That was the first time, and I thought, oh, Jesus, that's an alpha. She got moves. And now I watch several women, and I'm like, Caitlin Clark's range is beyond men's players. Like, that's no just doubt. Not, you know, that's a different, but now men tend to be more vertical, palming the ball.
Of course.
Right. But, and I also think what it points out to, the emergence of women's basketball is a lot of things, but I'll throw my belief system into this. We are more distracted than ever because of our phones and what is on our phones, social media, which is a lot.
Some people fall downstairs because of
them. Yeah. But what they really are, we've become a society of me and less about we. And so we go to our Instagram and we look at us and we take selfies and we, you know, the algorithms do let us read what we want to read. We're not interested really in information. It's mostly affirmation, politically, sports, my team, my Reddit board. So what's happened, we are distracted. Therefore, stars, political stars, tech stars, stars now, The Rock, Elon Musk. So if you look at the sports that are growing, the NFL, where their best players are stars, women's basketball is growing like crazy because their best players are stars. Men's basketball is shrinking. There's no stars in this sport. I mean, Zach Edey is a second round, but he can't defend at the NBA level. And so if you, and by the way, this has been baseball's problem that Shohei Ohtani, I think, will solve, at least to the Dodgers. He's a bona fide star. So as society has gotten more distracted, we read the headlines. We don't read the story. And metaphorically, politics, that's what opens the door for a Trump. It's
right.
People laugh at Trump, and I'm like, Mark Cuban could run tomorrow and be a viable candidate within 6 months. So I think what women's basketball, the growth of it, NFL and women's basketball are the two fastest growing sports. They're star driven. That's really a big part of it.
And the NFL is almost, somebody asked me the other day that what I, because people know I love the NBA.
Right.
Thanks to the Chiefs' success, I don't think I'm considered really an NBA guy anymore.
That's true.
People think of me as like an NFL and NBA guy. But once, when you and I first started working together, people looked at me mostly as an NBA
guy. And you have benefited, by the way, you have benefited. When I started ESPN, I was seen as a college football guy. So I stopped talking about it because I thought I needed to shift to an NFL guy first. So I think it's actually benefited your ratings and benefited you, because I think the NFL is so overwhelmingly popular. You have to.
Well, that's what I was getting to. Somebody asked me, they were like, you know, what do you think in 10 years or 15 years is going to be the second most popular sport in America? And I said, I wonder if we are headed towards, and you and I might have talked about this before, everything other than football being niche, where football is the only thing everybody's into. And there's not stars and you can't make millions of dollars doing it and all those things, but that everything else, women's basketball is in a unique place because it was coming from such a place of little attention nationally to now growing, but that everything else that already had a sizable footprint, if those footprints are going to shrink a bit, the NFL's is going to continue to grow. And then it is the only thing that is going to be universal among sports fans going to be football, because March Madness and filling out the bracket and that experience is still universal among sports fans, but following day-to-day college basketball is not.
That's right.
It absolutely is not. The NBA superstars are still, you know, universal among sports fans, but there are a lot of people that consider that watch FS1 all the time, that are big enough sports fans to know who I am, know who you are, all these things, who, if you ask them, hey, there's 14 games left in the year. Have you watched more than one NBA game start to finish? That they'd be like, well, no, it's not the playoffs yet. I haven't. You know what I mean? And so that is happening across the board.
Well, so I wrote this down 2-3 days ago. I wrote down the sports calendar, and I was figuring out vacation time for the family.
Yeah.
And if the NFL goes to an 18th game, and they will, I believe, create a second bye. That will push football potentially 2 more weeks into February, because they won't start it early. I just don't think that Labor Day is still, you know, it's kind of. Right. They'll shrink the preseason down to 2 games. They'll add a game, another bye. Selfishly, here's what our job will be. And I know this is insular and people that are listening, but this is the stuff you and I talk about off the air. Yeah. So part of podcasting is doing that. So if the football season ends, Super Bowl is the 23rd. It'll always be indoor warm weather. You can no longer do anything but indoor warm weather, right? Like, which I'm okay with. Mardi Gras, same place every year. New Year's drop, same place. Sure. It's going to be domes or warm Miami or something, right?
Yep.
So it ends on the 24th. You talk about it for 5 days.
Yeah.
You take a vacation, which, because the season will be so damn long now, it'll be 26 weeks of our life. We don't take vacation during it. We'll all take a vacation. Company will probably mandate it, I would guess. Say, get out of here. You and I will come back, no dead time, into free agency and the final 17 games of the NBA regular season. You and I will lose those 2 to 3 dead weeks that all sports talk radio show hosts know. They'll be gone.
Yeah.
And the only dead time, and companies like Fox and ESPN's been doing this for years, but I think increasingly Fox and FS1 will do this, is August will largely, July and August, will get more time off, larger blocks, because the company will realize we're asking our Nick Wrights, Colin, Skip, whoever, to do like 25 straight weeks. Because college football now on Saturdays with the Big Ten and four brands from the West in it, you have to watch some college football on Saturdays.
No, and so, yeah, so there will be, it is going, though I look at the sports calendar currently is this, from September 1 until Valentine's Day is nonstop football with no days off. No days off. It is just, it is my wife and I, you know, we feel like every other podcast, we either talk about therapy or marriages or whatever it is. But my wife and I, somewhat off your, I don't want to say you're pushing, but you talked openly about it. So I'll talk openly about it. My wife and I occasionally go to couples counseling.
Yeah, I do it every Wednesday.
Type thing.
Yeah, every Wednesday.
There you go.
Yeah. Did it today.
And she said to our therapist, I don't know when it was, she was like, so how are you guys doing? This was a few months ago. And I don't want to misquote her, but this is about the line. She was like, well, I don't really like him a lot right now, but it's the beginning of December and that's how it is every year. Because by the time we get to December, it has been three straight months of me, you know what I mean? Basically out of it. And she knows there's still a couple months to go. You know what I mean? And so but that is what it is. From September to Valentine's Day, we are locked in 6.5 days a week. And we have great, I'm not complaining about it, but that's just what it is. We then get, like you said, a week off. And then to be honest, I kind of feel like it probably should be like 2 or 3 weeks off because I see the numbers. Everybody is taking a deep breath from sports.
Sure.
Everybody is. Everybody who's been locked into football, basketball hasn't heated up yet. And then it picks back up NFL free agency. And that carries us to the NBA stretch run, NBA playoffs. And then right after the NBA playoffs, the NBA stays kind of hot because they walk right into their free agency. And then from mid-July until that September 1, those 6 weeks, we're all just tap dancing. Well, you know what I mean? We're all just, there's nothing going on. Baseball, even if you love baseball, those are the dog days of the baseball season.
Right.
There's nothing happening.
Yeah.
And so that is, the NFL extending would be great for everybody. Yes. I heard you and Jason talking about this.
Yeah.
And it would be great. I don't know how much the players would love it. I don't know if, here's the only question I would have. Do you think, one of the reasons the NFL is so popular and the NFL is so great is every game feels very important.
Right.
At some point, that flips to, it's okay. Do you, like, at what number would you say they are risking, you know what I mean? I don't want to say ruining a good thing, but cutting off some of their own urgency.
Well, I've thought about that, and baseball so laughably long, and the NBA similarly and hockey are, that the scarcity still exists even with 18 games. I mean, baseball, literally, there's nothing that makes sense about 162 games, 20 spring training games, and potentially 18 to 20 postseason games. A team could play 200 games if they won the World Series. So it's so insane, so many innings, so many hours, that I still think there's a scarcity that sort of drives the sport. I mean, college football used to be like 11 games if you won the Natty or 12. Now it's like 14 or 15.
Well, now you see, right? Like Joe Burrow's LSU team was 15-0. And now they're adding more. Like, so they are approaching where the NFL was. Like Joe Paterno, I think, won a national championship with 11 wins.
That's
right. You know what I mean? I could be. And so that has happened at a very rapid pace. I have one other kind of big picture NFL urgency thought, which is, I don't know if you remember me ever saying this, but I'm a big believer that one of the best things to happen to the NBA was LeBron's Heat team losing that first year, because it made every other year of that era feel so much more important. Year two, holy shit, if they lose here, they're going to break it up. Year three, all right, they won, but we've seen them lose. You know what I mean? Can they do it? If they don't do it, then it's not really that impressive anyway. They win it. Year four, all right, now they're going for a three-peat, Shaq, Kobe, Michael, whatever. They lose. I think the worst thing to happen, not the worst thing, but I think it was bad for the NBA that Durant and Steph won year one. Had they lost year one, I bet Durant never would have left. But because they won, everyone's like, yeah, we fucking knew you would win. Yeah. That was too easy. So I think sometimes like adversity can be good for long-term success of storylines, whatever. Here's why I bring all that up. Sneakily, I think while it was exhilarating to watch and great for the legend of the player and the coach, for NFL conversation next season, I think the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl was a sneaky bad thing.
Yes.
Because now there is every NFL conversation is going to almost either implicitly or explicitly include, like, nobody is going to feel, I think, feel almost allowed to doubt the Chiefs. Like, if the Chiefs start 4-4, is anyone going to feel comfortable being like, well, now they're cooked? You know what I mean? Like now they're, and so there is a level of, because they looked so bad, it was statistically, record-wise, all these things, their worst year. And then they won anyway. And it's not like, well, the bracket broke for them. It's like, no, they had to beat Buffalo, Baltimore, San Francisco.
Yep.
How is, it's going to be a tough sell
yep.
on any of those.
The Volume.
Thanks for listening to part one of The Conversation with Nick. Don't forget to check back for part two.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.